everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Modern Mezzamin podcast. Here with you today is co-founder Bushra Ali, joined by our other co-founder, Raja Bukhari, and a very special guest, Yamna Khan. Yamna is an entrepreneurship innovation guru and a very beloved friend. Any other way to introduce you, Yamna?
This sounds good. Thank you so much.
And our very modern mazmoon for today is Pakistani millennials. Who are we even talking about when we say Pakistani millennial? How do you guys define who a Pakistani millennial is?
So I've been told that a Pakistani millennial or a millennial is someone between the ages of 24 to 35 or 36. But it's hard for me to see it that way because it's more like what kind of experiences have you had? And I think that's what defines you as a millennial. And then of course, like I do get very defensive whenever I hear the word millennial, because most of the time it's from people who are like, "Aajkal ke bacche to koi kaam nahi karte, job seriously lete, ghar nahi," and stuff like that. So I really, really despise that. The world is different now, okay? Things are more uncertain. So not really sure what a millennial would be, but I just know that date of birth ke hisab se I am a millennial, so.
Fair enough. What about you, Yamna?
Yeah, I think I agree with Raja. I think I've had similar experiences in the way being told, oh, like, tum log aajkal ke bache and everything. But I also know that I think it's, if I'm not wrong, it also includes people in their early 20s. I do have my reservations about introducing or stereotyping someone as a millennial or stereotyping an entire generation. But I think it, because everyone, like Raja said, everyone's experiences are different. But it's an interesting thing to be labeled millennial, because obviously there are growing up with internet, phones. I think there were a lot of things that we were exposed to that our parents' generation wasn't. And I think that's kind of that that age group who had all of those things growing up and who experienced technology, its advantages, disadvantages. I think that is what, for me, a millennial would be. Someone who actually saw the pre-tech and the post-tech difference in the world.
Yeah, it's very much defined by that whole technology transformation that our generation has experienced, growing up with, being introduced to smart technology, smartphones in our teens, for example. But personally, I'm very wary of this term millennial. I feel like it's used to group and stereotype way too many experiences and leads to people oversimplifying the way our society is defined and distributed. And that leads to unfair stereotypes. For example, like in the US, it's a very common critique that like, when we say millennial, we're really talking about white, middle class, Christian, male kind of demographic. And I feel like a lot of the same can be said for Pakistan. But at the same time, I do think it can be used usefully to talk about certain specific areas or certain ways in which our lives are so different from our parents, but without necessarily stereotyping and making sweeping assumptions about an entire generation.
I think I agree with you. I do want to ask you though, that when we're making like these sweeping assumptions, I wonder if it's because it helps people from the previous generation to cope with their feelings of inadequacy, to say things like, you know, we don't know what we're doing, or like we're not as serious, or we're not as directional, and so on.
I think it also might have to do with the fact that we're so different, and maybe they just, instead of seeing how, like, the fact who we are as individuals, all they see is that we're so different to them. You know, if we are like each other or not doesn't really matter. We're all, at the end of the day, kind of going against the traditions they've set for us. And I think for a lot of the older generation, that's what they see. And I think maybe it is generation to generation. I think with globalization, there's also a lot of difference in the way, in exposure, for example, in the way our parents were exposed to just their society and their culture, kids in Pakistan or millennials in Pakistan right now don't have that same exposure. They obviously, due to internet, they have an exposure from around the world. So I think in Pakistan too, you see all of that happening, or just everywhere. And I think that's kind of what like the older generation tries to figure out, like, how do we get them to follow the same path we did? And I think when kids don't, it kind of results in a lot of frustration. So I think that's kind of, like Reja said, one of the coping mechanisms.
So then I'm thinking then when this older generation, if we're talking about them, if we're going to be casting stones, I think I'd want to specify like to what extent I'm talking about when it comes to like the older generation, because just the generation before that, they went through something as disruptive as a partition in Pakistan. Their lives were not exactly that amazingly like stable and unke paas paths they to pursue, and they everything was just working out well for them. So I feel like there's a generation that came right after that, after the partition wali generation. That's the one that I feel is more concerned with stability, because I think in them the value of stability was instilled by their parents who had gone through this migratory process.
I agree. I do think, I do want to come back to this question eventually, that are we blaming, do we tend to attribute too much of the difference between the generations to technology and to, you know, just the fact that we grew up with smartphones? Because I feel like there's also so much happening in terms of the economy, in terms of globalization, as Yamna pointed out. Like, we are having different experiences, not just because we grew up with smartphones, but because the world looks very different. The global economy looks very different. And the choices we're faced with look very different. And also the choices that our parents made, you know, are different. They have different priorities from their own parents. But actually, I do want to, before we come back to this, we've been talking about how we're different. I'd like to kind of go dig deeper into what exactly we perceive, each of us individually, through our lived experiences, as the difference between, say, Gen X, which is our parents' generation, and us as Gen Y or the millennial generation. What is the difference in your opinion?
I think personally, I can just say that my parents grew up in a society that was very, they grew up in Pakistan, both of them. In Lahore and Karachi respectively, but either way, I think it was very much dominated by Pakistani one culture. Obviously, we do have Punjabis and Sindhis and Mahajers, etc., but I think overall it was that sense of, okay, we are in Pakistan and we are Pakistanis above anything else. On the other hand, I think because I grew up outside of Pakistan, it was a totally different experience. I had friends from who had different nationalities, different religions, different cultures. So I think growing up, when you're exposed to a lot more or a lot of different people, you are a lot more, and I wouldn't say tolerant, I'd say accepting. I think our parents' generation who are exposed to them, who are exposed to different cultures at a later stage, are more tolerant of those cultures. I think we're more accepting of those cultures. And I think that's the difference. For us, it's normal. It's a way of life. For them, it's something that they have learned to live with. So I think for me, that would be the major difference in the way my parents have grown up and the way I've grown up.
I'd agree. I mean, I don't think it's like an experience that's valid for every single person, because I don't think some people are still as accepting, particularly in our generation, but we definitely live in a generation, Jahape. It's not just about putting up with someone, but it's about trying to find commonalities between different groups of people and realize like where our struggles are similar and where they are significantly different, so that when we organize our social systems, we take that into consideration, right? We're not even in an age, Jahape, you're colorblind. We're in an age, Jahape, you notice the different demographics people fall under, and so we can tailor our social systems according to that. But what's really significant about what you said, Yamna, that stood out to me was because I just recently attended this study group for the Baha'i faith. And I was just sitting there and I was listening to like their the leader of that study group just talk about these quotes from their prophet, the Baha'u'llah. And a lot of the stuff like was similar to something that I've come across in Islam. And then it's stuff that I've come across in other religions as well, because I'm a part of this interfaith group that meets every 2 weeks. And it's just really fascinating that there's just so much similarity between all these different groups. And I feel like I'm lucky, or like I'm grateful to be born in a generation jahan pe it's totally fine, or it's more acceptable to mix your circles and learn from other religions, instead of like this way that I was raised earlier, like jahan pe differences in religion were really strongly emphasized. So that's what I was thinking of, Yamna, when you were talking about, you know, being more accepting towards other people instead of just tolerating.
I feel like one thing we're getting at right now that's very relevant to this conversation is the concept of identity. So in particular, we're talking about Pakistani millennials, and what seems to be quite different for our generation, regardless of whether you're growing up in Pakistan or growing up abroad, is how you view being Pakistani. I was reading this very interesting article about how our parents' generation grew up at a time when there was quite a bit of prosperity in Pakistan. Things seemed to be developing and getting better. There were some drawbacks, but economically speaking, you know, multinationals were entering Pakistan. It was a period of quite a lot of prosperity. But for our generation, especially millennials, we've grown up at a time where we've seen things degenerate. It almost feels like the economy is going down. We've seen we're going culturally backward. Our own mindsets individually may be opening up, but politically as a country, we seem to be turning more towards conservatism. So I feel like there's a lot to be said about how being a Pakistani millennial is quite different than just a generic millennial, because we may be feeling more connected. There's a reason why I think we almost want connection outside of national identity. We don't have as strong of an affinity. We're not as patriotic or nationalistic in the same way. It's still there, but it's not in the same way as it was, say, in a parent's generation, where they found a lot of pride in national identity.
That's true. I remember like hearing from my dad the first time he saw I think it was a militia group that was funded by the government in the 70s, and he saw one of the members of that militia group shoot a protester. And there was his first experience seeing violence in Karachi, and of course, like due to his position in society, he was safe from a lot of like different kinds of violence. But in general, it was like it wasn't as commonplace, so you were protected from it. This was like the first time he saw something happen because of the government. And as he was telling me this, like I felt so bad for him, because I can't imagine like what a shocking experience this is, like when you've been raised in a generally, like you said, Bushra, a prosperous country, a country that's not doing so badly and is actually like, I don't know, log kehte the zamane mein ke Pakistan ka passport bahut strong hota tha, and the economy was doing really well and so on. Karachi ki sadke dhulti thi har roz. And like you hear all these things, and then you imagine someone growing up in that kind of Pakistan, and then they finally see like state violence against its own citizens. And that's a shocking experience. And then from there on, especially the 90s, things just degenerated.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories too. I think to go back to Pakistan ka passport bahut strong hota tha, both my parents have told me that apparently in the 80s, or maybe earlier too, you didn't actually need a visa to get to the UK, which is unheard of now. Because now it's just like,
oh my God,
hassle. Yeah, now it's just a hassle, right? Like just trying to even get a visa to the UK with a Pakistani passport, you know, bank statements and letter of like, I don't know, to show your ties to the country, your residence and whatnot. So it was an interesting thing for them as well. I think the British pound to rupee rate, the Pakistani rupee rate used to be, well, let's just say not as bad as it is now. But I tend to agree with you on that. I think it is, I definitely think it is different for them. I think they have seen Pakistan go through some really great times. I think they've seen Pakistan when it was at its peak, has to speak. And not that we don't want it to come back or we don't hope that it's going to, you know, reach another peak. But I think what they have seen is just both the ups and the downs. But I think with all of that, I think it makes them, and I understand, I think it makes them a little suspicious of a lot of things, because they've seen how it can go from going really well to just kind of take that downward turn and just, you know, a lot of things destroyed. So, I mean, I do sympathize with them for that, but I do think it's an interesting thing to look at it from their viewpoint as well.
I think it's very empathetic to see it this way, despite our frustrations at being mocked for being like an ungrateful generation or a generation that's starting off too late and abhi tak shaadi nahi hui, ghar nahi hua, bachche nahi hua, whatever. But at the same time, like, it's important to remember, kid, like, there's a context to everyone's experiences. Like I said, if like my nanny was the one who went through the disruptive thing of having to leave a country and start over and leave, like, and she was like, I think she was well off, I'm not sure. And to be just like to narrowly escape severe violence, I think 3 to 4 million people died during the partition. I have to fact check this, so don't quote me on it. But and then live our parents living in a prosperous country, a rather stable country, having a good life, and then having that fall apart. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like it helps us see things from their perspective better. Just like understand where they're coming from.
It's interesting. One of the things I've noticed about like our grandparents' generation is they're more willing to live in the moment. Maybe because they have been through partition. You know, this is something that I feel like our generation can probably relate to with them, because they're more willing to kind of live in the moment. They've been through so much that they just want to live life. Whereas with my parents' generation, and again, maybe it comes back to the fact that they saw such great times and they saw the downfall, that they always feel the need to prepare for the future. That's a huge deal with them, you know, like that preparation, it's always planning. If you have money now, how do you plan for a secure future? How do you make sure your kids are educated? How do you make sure you have enough retirement? Like, you know, like money for retirement. I think there's so much planning that at times I have to like, you know, you actually have to tell your parents to live. And that's hard for them. I think they come from a very different viewpoint where it's really hard for them to live.
I really appreciate the comparison you drew between our generation and the generation to my grandparents' generation, because honestly, I do see a lot of similarities, and precisely because of the instability. So for example, the fact that my grandfather's parents migrated from India to Pakistan. So my grandfather migrated from Pakistan to Dubai. And even though I didn't necessarily migrate, but I, like, his kids and I were still like expatriates, where we're still kind of in transition forever, probably. I definitely see that. I do share a lot. It's interesting. I think it's where culture and reality can clash sometimes. I feel like my life has followed a very similar trajectory to my grandfather's, in the sense that he really focused on education and self-education actually when he was young. And then when he was around 20, in his 20s, early 20s, he decided to take off, leave his village in Bannu and go to Lahore and get a job there, and was still studying math and all kinds of things. And then I found an opportunity to, you know, to leave the country eventually and live somewhere else. And while I didn't necessarily migrate to another country from where I'm living right now, I did start thinking in my late teens, early 20s, about going to a different country, experiencing something new, accessing new opportunities, and everything that comes with that, right? Like the uncertainty, the culture shock, the adjustment process, the learning to be independent. But that was unexpected for me. That was unexpected for a woman in my family. It was something that I sort of did, honestly, because of the financial crisis, because my family realized that economic independence for their daughters was extremely important. And so it was on that basis that I was encouraged to try those experiences, not necessarily because it was something that, you know, was naturally culturally accepted. So that's why I'm like emphasizing the fact that it's more than just technology that makes Pakistani millennials different. It's the fact that we've grown up, the economic circumstances, which were affected by technological transformation. I agree with that. But just the choices and restrictions and limitations that we face are different from our parents' generation and the generation before that.
I wanted to say that was a really great summary, Bushra, of like what exactly like defines us as millennials. I especially liked how you kind of compared yourself to your grandfather. I think that's super sweet. And I think he'd like it. Like if you told him this, he'd be like, aapne mere andar pata nahi bahadri or resilience or whatever, like Dalia and stuff. And that's just really cool. It just brings me to like this one question though. I wonder if like another thing that defines the Pakistani millennial, loosely using the term, experience is intergenerational trauma, because we're talking about people who've either been through like these terrific history making events in the political spectrum to the decline, massive traumatic decline of an entire country. So I think we've inherited a lot of their trauma. Like Yamna was saying earlier, when we're telling our parents to please like live in the moment, is because I wonder like how much of that anxiety is something that is learned behavior from them.
I think that's so interesting. I don't think I've ever thought about it that way, but it is an interesting thing to me because I feel like I do see it in myself. But I may not see it in all of my siblings or all of my cousins. So I don't know whether it's something that all of us go through, but I definitely do see different aspects. So maybe, for example, I may have picked up on one behavior while my brother or sister may have picked up on something else. And I think that's just very natural to pick up from your parents in any way. But I think it's a very interesting concept to me because I don't think I ever saw it from the perspective of, hey, they've been through so much. It's just, to me, it just seemed a lot of like, oh, this is how our culture is, and this is how our tradition, you know, it's just that thing that you just kind of assume or take for granted, and you fight against without realizing what the context behind it is. And I think Bushra mentioned it earlier, I think realizing or trying to figure out what is the context behind different behavior or different patterns, I think that's so important. It really helps you empathize with the other person, but also kind of figure out how to break that cycle. So yeah, I will be giving this a thought though.
I think that the idea of like thinking about causes and breaking patterns is something that could actually really help our Pakistani millennial generation that gets bashed a lot. Like if people were to actually think about why we're stuck in certain cycles. But kind of going off of the intergenerational trauma thing, because that concept kind of changed my life. So I shared my story up till the point where I went out and I tried to explore the world. I didn't kind of share the turmoil and the issues that came once I tried that. Once I realized that I could be thousands of miles from home, but I didn't even know I was carrying a lot of baggage. That was truly shocking for me. I cannot express that to other people, how surprised I was to realize that I have severe anxiety issues, to realize that I have attachment issues when it comes to my family, to realize how insecure and vulnerable I actually feel when I'm on my own, or how affected I've been by all the changes my family's been through. And it wasn't until the fourth year of college, when I tried therapy for 3 years, it wasn't until the fourth year when I had a South Asian American therapist who kind of introduced this concept. It was like, why are you constantly, you know, you're kind of projecting your anxieties onto what's happening in your day-to-day at college, but you know, you're kind of constantly thinking about your family at home. You're thinking about what they might be, the troubles they might be facing, whatever. Do you think about what happened to your past generations and how to address that or how to move forward with that? Is it going to happen to me? And then she introduced me to the concept of intergenerational trauma and kind of realizing that I was carrying so much, not because it had happened to me, but because it was stuff that I had just, this baggage that I had not resolved or ever seriously thought about how it affects me, because I always brushed it off, you know? And that youthful thing, like, I'm going to move on, I'm going to be super successful, I'm going to have it all, I'm going to be that person in my family that just breaks all the barriers. I had forgotten that trauma is what trauma is, and that it's real, that it's something that affects you until you realize it and learn to cope with it. So for me, and I do think it could help, because Pakistanis go through so much trauma in their lifetime. I mean, again, a very general statement, but let's be real. There've been a couple of wars already. There are economic crises, there are floods. We go through a lot of trauma as a community and sub-communities within Pakistan. It would help us a lot, in my opinion, if we thought more about how that affects us, whether it's intergenerational or even stuff that's happening around us in the news. Yep, that's my two cents on that.
I have a question to ask. So I get your journey, because I think when, again, similar to what you said, I think when I went abroad and studied and stayed on my own, definitely attachment issues. You know, definitely a lot of thinking about like what is happening at home, just minor concerns, you know, minor concerns that became like an actual anxiety issue, you know, depression, all of that. I get that, but somewhere. Okay, so the question is, do you think as Pakistani girls we face that more? Because I don't want to stereotype it to a gender, but I do think that as girls, as Pakistani girls, especially as Pakistani millennials who are girls, we break a lot of stereotypes, right? So it's easier for boys to kind of adjust to life as a millennial, because there's not a lot of stereotypes that they're breaking. Or even if they are, to be honest, things are accepted, you know? I think as girls, we have a wider gap that we have to kind of jump through. And I'm kind of wondering whether that anxiety stems from that. Like, personal experience, I'm the eldest girl in my generation, but also my dad's generation, because he doesn't have any sisters. So it is literally the eldest girl. And, you know, obviously there were a lot of like growing up. I think growing up, I was always treated the same as my brothers. And then when I became an adult, it was like, hey, now you gotta be more like a Pakistani girl. And the fact that I didn't know any better, like I actually never had like, or never found any difference between the way we were raised, kind of had this, like, I had a moment where I was just like, what does that mean? Like if they're rebelling against something that's traditional and I am, and they support me and all of that, like, how is it any different? But those expectations after we had grown up were so different. And I think that pressure and that stress, and it doesn't have to be from your immediate family, you know, it's that constant pressure that comes from outside as well. It's that constant pressure, like Rajat mentioned, why aren't you married yet, for example? Why are you so career focused? You know, all of that sort of thing. I think a lot of that, a lot as Pakistani girls, we just face a lot more. And I'm wondering whether a lot of our anxiety, a lot of our personal trauma reflects that.
I'm desperately hoping like the audio captured me snapping and clapping, because I kind of went all out there. I agree with that so much. And I have so much to say to that, but I want to give the floor to Reja first, if you want to say something.
I think I might end up covering some of the stuff you're saying just because, like, we're friends and I, you know, I'd like to be a little romantic about it. I do want to, like, emphasize that, of course, like, because of your place in society and the different identities that you occupy, definitely, like, being a woman would make this whole transitory process between generations harder. Because, like, even as we're talking about it right now, we're talking about it, if I give it an economic bracket, like middle to upper middle class, right? We are talking from those kinds of experiences. And I'm pretty sure, like, I've spoken to in the house help at my mom's house, and I've asked her, and her experiences are very different from mine, even though she's approximately my age. And of course, this is something that, this is why, like, throughout the podcast, I think we were all pretty, like, clear about this, that we're talking a lot from our own personal experiences, which are obviously not reflective of, like, the general population. So depending on your economic class, your race, what kind, if you're in a minority group or something like that, definitely, like, this gets a lot harder. So Yamna, I strongly empathize with you because I absolutely understand where you're coming from. Also, it saddens me to think that this is difficult for us, but there's a lot more stuff that's difficult for other people.
I think what's interesting is when you're, despite the fact that you might be coming from so much privilege, and besides economic privilege, I would also say just the privilege of being supported by your family. Like, that is such a massive privilege. Despite having that kind of a privilege, it's just very important to just note that these experiences are real, and they are very much tied to our different identities, whether it's being Pakistani, whether it's being Muslim, whether it's being a woman, whatever, however you want to say it. And definitely acknowledging the fact that you're carrying different expectations, you're trying to live up to a whole other standard. Like, for example, trying to create a precedent in my family where there was none of a woman going abroad to study on her own, or someone trying to get an economics major or learn a new language. For my mom, it was working a corporate job. So, like, all of these new precedents setting, it's very easy in our, like, liberal excitement to say, just be like, yes, like, go women, break barriers. But unless we understand the psychological effort, the anxieties, all of that that goes with it, we're going to keep coming back to this question as to why women are being held back, or why certain people find it harder than others, or why certain millennials are struggling more than others are. So we've had a very, I don't know how to describe this, very vibrant,
emotional
conversation, where we really brought our personal experiences to bear on what it means to be a Pakistani millennial and how complicated that is. Before we close, I want to open up the floor. Do you guys have any last thoughts you want to share? Any points that you think need to be made?
I think from my side, I just wanted to, like, reaffirm what you said, which was your experiences and your feelings are real. And not to invalidate yourself and not to kind of doubt yourself. And I think everyone just, like, allow yourself that liberty. I think that from, like, to understand how you're feeling and how to how to adjust to it. I think that for me is the biggest thing.
My last words are, I just want to thank this little community that we're building. I really want to thank Yamna for coming on the podcast today. Yay.
No, for... thank you. I loved it though, so
yeah, thank you so much, and I hope we have you back, because I just feel like I reached, like, new depths of, like, understanding myself and my experiences and my family and my estate and everything. So this is really great.
Thank you guys. Yeah, for sure, there's a lot more digging to do on this topic, but the fact that we have done enough digging is good enough. So with that, we're coming to a close with this podcast episode. Until next time, hear us soon. Bye.